Hallelujah. You may be seated. Who chooses to be a Christian tonight? This is the choice that I made. I'm happy with it. Hallelujah. Just a quick announcement. I just got word that next Saturday, which is actual Veterans Day, from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m., vets eat free at Hy-Vee West. All right? So that's pretty sweet. Praise God. Well, church, welcome to yet another CIP graduation. Are you excited? Hallelujah. This is what we're here for. Amen? Hallelujah. It's better to give than receive. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I always like to start this out by giving credit where credit is due. And where would I be in this world? Church, where would I be in this world without that beautiful woman right there? Everybody who knows me knows I'd be completely lost. Carl, what happens when my wife goes away? Just completely fall apart. I don't know how to even open the fridge. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's a good thing she leaves very detailed instructions for me. She highlights the buttons on the microwave. I love you, honey. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. And to our pastoral staff. Hallelujah. Tremendous. Tremendous. Where would this program be without you, Brother Hawk, and your vision and your willingness? We once were lost. Now we're found. Amen. So appreciative. Praise God. And what about the CIP staff? CIP staff. The staff. Raise your hand if you're the CIP staff ever was before. Graper, get your hand up. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the staff and thank you to the church and CIP. Woo! Ooh. Sippy, I told you I was going to hit you with it. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so thankful. Let's get on with it. We've got a couple of graduates, very special people here tonight. These are members of Calvary Gospel Church that decided that they were all in on this. They wanted to see what it was all about. They took orientation and said, you know what? This is something that I want to be involved in. I want to give back and I want to help out. And, you know, I'm just so proud of these guys, you know. To watch you both grow so much through this program, and not only that, but just in life the last couple of years. I mean, Jacob Graper, come on up. Woo! Jacob, all of you know Jacob Graper. Church, we've watched him go from a boy to a man. Amen? He looks like he could bench press a Buick. David Lance, same thing for you. Come on up, brother. If any of you ever get a chance to talk with Dave, I have heard some of the, in class here, I have heard some of the most profound things spoken. We talked about the power of words this morning in church. It was an awesome message. And, you know, you have made an impact. And I guess I want to, before I give the mic over, I guess I want to say that as a former student, let's go back even further, as a former inmate, let's go there. And wearing that beautiful white jewelry and spending the better part of 10 years in and out of jail, right? Given, you know, doing all of that stuff and going through the things that I went through and the hardships and all the stuff that I put myself through that I did. It was because of my decisions, right? Sin. There's a sin issue, right, church? And that's something that we can only work out with Jesus, amen? Well, you get that worked out, and you start to grow, and you start to learn, And then pretty soon, before you know it, you're in the CIP, you take the CIP. The leader of the CIP asks you to take the CIP. Pretty soon, you're teaching the CIP. We taught CIP for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, oh, man, now you're running the CIP, you know. And I got to say that it's unbelievable looking at it. I need the CIP every week. You guys, I need you guys every week. As much as I needed the gospel before I was saved, I need you guys every week. CIP, we know the power of addiction. Amen. We've all lost loved ones to the power of addiction. They gave my daddy a death sentence and said, hey, guy, Kenny, if you keep on drinking, you will die. The power of addiction, Mark, it took him there. If you keep drinking, you got bad parts inside of you that can't handle it anymore. But if you keep doing it, you're going to die. But if you stop now, we can fix you up. We got the right wrenches. We can fix you up. The power of addiction, he couldn't put it down. My dad, it killed him. I know the power of addiction. I need you, CIP. We need to constantly remind each other. The stories that we share, the closeness that we share. In today was an awesome class. I feel like we were just talking about life, problems, and solutions. Amen? Anybody who wants to get involved with this, come talk to me. This is a powerful ministry. If you want to give back, man, you have a place. Everybody has a place. Amen? Berto, come on up. Come on up, Berto. I asked my right-hand man, I asked him if he would just share a little something about his experience as a teacher and his experience so far on the other side for CIP.
All right. I'm a little shy, so I have a little something written down. So I'm going to have to use it. It's only going to be a couple minutes. This is what I feel the Lord put and press upon my heart to share. A lot of guys are going to get up here and tell you how the CIP has affected them. And I think the preacher is going to hit on that. But what I want to hit it is from a teacher aspect. The Lord certainly will bless you if you answer the call to ministry, if you answer the call to his will. The Bible says he gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. The Lord has certainly stretched me and blessed me to share in his nature to give back what he first gave me. And this is what I've gotten out of the CIP. But I would like to also to appeal to the church, because there was a lot of stuff in the CIP I didn't know until I got involved. And there was a lot of needs in there that need to be met before I got involved that I didn't know. And God has given a great open door with the CIP. It's affected many, many people. Many souls have been saved through the CIP. And I'm glad I can be a part of it and to share in the great work that the Lord is doing it. And it took me a while the Lord was calling me to do this for a while, but I was afraid. I'm a shy person, this, that, and the other. At every single excuse, I didn't want to get involved. And only in the last year and a half, I finally started to get involved in ministry. And again, the Lord has really blessed me and developed me as I've given of myself in sacrifice. And this is some of the stuff the Lord shared with me as I was going through this transition. Even to this present day, he's challenging me. I'm reminded of Matthew 25 when at that last day when we stand before the Lord and he shows the results of our test, and he says a very sobering thing. He says, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was sick, you came to visit me. And when I was in prison, you came to me. And, of course, we know they'll ask, well, when did we do that, Lord? And he says, as you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Praise God. And you may think, you know, I just appeal, like, support the CIP. Pray for the CIP. Get involved in the CIP. Financially, even. I mean, these men miss their dinner when they come here from their jail, so we have to provide food for them, and it's costly sometimes. Welcome them. Invite them beyond just a Sunday night service, you know, and I know the Lord will bless you if you do that, if you answer that. You may think, you know, how can I relate with these people? I've never done anything like they've done. Maybe I just leave it to somebody else. But really, If you look at the first sin that ever was committed, what was it? They ate a fruit that they weren't allowed to eat. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And such were some of you. If that first sin that they did, they didn't commit murder, they didn't smoke weed, they didn't drink alcohol in the garden. They disobeyed the Lord. And that alone is worthy of death. So we can relate. We can understand. Why? Because such were some of you. So I just appeal, and I feel the Lord is appealing. Just pray for the CIP. Support the CIP. Give to the CIP. Reach out to those in the CIP. And why did Jesus say, you did it unto me? I look at it as my kids. If you do good to my kids, if you bless my kids, you bless me. You do it to me. You're on my good list. If you do something bad to my kids, you do something wrong to my kids, you don't want to see the way I will act because I love my kids. And the Lord sees it in the same way. They were created in his image and his likeness. He died for them. He bled for them. He's saying, like he told Cain, where is your brother? Consider your brother. Don't just think about yourself. Consider the ones in need and meet the need. Thank you.
Attaboy. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, brother. I'm going to give the graduates a minute to speak.
Hey guys, how's it going? I'm very thankful to be up here, you know, because of the mercy of God. Dylan, I seen you get baptized back there and everything. In Jesus' name, go down. You come up, you start walking out, and you feel like, man, this is the lightest I've ever been. Dude, that's all those burdens, that's all those, like, sin, all lifted up off of you. That's why you're so light, man. I've seen so many of you guys grow so much in the class, and it's been crazy. You guys don't see it now, but I see it. Everybody else here sees it, and this whole entire room sees you guys growing in God. And you guys need to grasp onto it, because God's right here, right now. And this is the only chance you guys got to grab onto him right now. What if this is the last day, and this is the last time you have the chance to grab onto it? Is this serious? Is this really serious? It's not something to be messing around with. You need to take God serious.
I first want to give praise to my God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's more than that to me. He's my everything. I want to thank Brother Hawk for starting the program initially. I want to thank also Brother Noah Strand for accepting me into the program. And it's just transformed me throughout the 20 weeks. And I basically was teaching myself some scripture. But it's such a blessing to be able to participate in a program like CIP. I'm just so happy because God has been blessing me to be able to bless others, and he's shown me more and more that it's not about me, it's about you all. And I hope that it's that for every one of you. It's called unity. And I thank you all for supporting CIP and for cheering us on because we love you, and I hope you love us.
Amen. Stay. Church, if you could all stand with us, we are going to pray for the graduates. I'm going to have Brother Seidel pray.
Why don't all the three of you come down and lay hands on these people? We're going to have all these men come and pray for these. Let's pray together. Amen. There's an anointing that comes when the church prays, and there's an anointing that comes when the elders lay hands on someone to pray for them. And we want God to release his virtue and his power for these graduates and for everyone in CIP right now. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for the work that you are doing in every heart and every mind in this room, but especially for these graduates. Anoint them with the purpose and the ministry and the vision and the ability, O God, to minister to the CIP attendees. We ask, oh God, for the virtue of God even now to rest upon them and flow through them. Give them renewed vision, renewed understanding of your call and your purpose in their lives. We pray for the CIP program and for all of these participants that this word and this anointing, that this blessing will flow throughout, oh God, that all may grow and all may know that you are the Savior of each soul, that you have died on the cross and your blood has been shed. Pour out your Spirit upon these, that when they pray for others, when they lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Ghost. That when they teach the Word of God, it goes deep into the soul. When they tell stories of strength and liberation, that this Word of faith is transferred to those who hear it. Let the blessing and the anointing of God rest upon them, not just here in this hour, in this service, but in each instance when they affect the Word of God and step forward to minister with the grace of God that you have given them. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor Seidel. All right, church, you may be seated. One very important thing I need to announce, very important tonight. There's cake after church. Please go to the fellowship hall after church and eat cake, especially the kids. All the kids should have 2, 3, 4 pieces of cake. Every kid I see running around, especially Christina, yours, make sure, give them another piece. And Mountain Dew and Pepsi and Coke and everything else. Yeah, I ain't babysitting. I got to work in the morning. Bro. Praise God. Brother Cox has a word on his heart that he has wanted to share with us for a long time. He's doing a mighty work down in Beloit. He's got several works going right now, pastoring down there, helping out in the ministry. And I'm just excited. I've never heard you preach before. I'm excited to hear you preach. Come on up. Woo!
Praise the Lord.
That's it.
Thank you. Clapping like that can make me feel like a politician. A fire extinguisher for every home, huh? It is an honor and privilege for me to stand behind this holy desk here. Greater individuals have graced this pulpit, and greater individuals than me will be behind this platform. But here we are here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity for being with the CIP people, and congratulations to our graduates. May God continue to use you and bless you. He has started something in your lives, and we continue to use you. It's good to be back in my home church, Calvary Gospel. This is where I got started. This is where I received the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in that wonderful name of Jesus. It wasn't here, but it was down the road, so I won't date a few of you all. Notice I put the onus back on you. It is good to be here. To the Grant family, I know they're not here. Love brother and sister Grant. God's blessing upon them. And the ministry of Brother Roy now is the pastor. Good to be with two of my best buddies. Look at them sitting over there. The Most High Reverend James Hawk. Notice I said hi. Love you, man. Good weekend with you. Celebrated his 80th birthday yesterday. Oh, no. Oh, brother. Love you, man. Been with him with the Revival Ridge a few times. I've enjoyed ministering there. And then my other close buddy, the Reverend Dr. J.L. Seidel. Love you, man. We were in each other's weddings. I needed somebody good looking, so I said, who can I have in there? So I picked Boaz Seidel. Love you, brother. Love all of y'all. It's good to see you talk about Calvary Gospel a whole lot back in Beloit. And I always say there's the New Jerusalem, then there's Calvary Gospel. Love you all. Good to be with you. Well, I got to watch our time here. I know there's cake and cookies and coffee waiting for some of y'all, so let me watch our time here. So, and speak with Brother Noah about him. Thank you. I will now. Anybody else second that? All right. Talking with Brother Noah, he said, Brother Cox, you're only going to have about 15 or 20 minutes. So I took the 20-minute slot. It'll be you're about to see a miracle. I know. You're about to see a miracle. If I can finish in 20 minutes, I will allow you all to buy me dinner. All right, so from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Amen. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Starting at verse 6, 7, and 8. Thus saith the Lord, for I am now ready to be offered, and my time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Notice, I have finished my course. In another translation, it says the course. Notice the third time, he says, I have kept the faith. Verse 8, please. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And to our graduates tonight, and for all of us, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says that three times. And there are people, if Paul can do it in writing to Timothy, so can you and I. We can live this thing out. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. My God, we call upon you. We bless you. We glorify your wonderful name. We welcome you. We acknowledge you. Open our minds and our hearts to what thus saith the Lord. God, and what you're doing in this day and hour, help us, Lord, to take on your mindset and feel after you. God, pour out your spirit to minister Holy Ghost in this service as only you can. You know every need, every heart, and every desire that is here tonight, wonderful Savior. Into your hands we commit this to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even though this is catered to the CIP, I want you to know that there is a God that can supply anybody's need here tonight. So whatever your circumstance and your situation is, I want you to know that even though maybe I may not convey what you need through my voice, but there is a God that is here that is on your side. Amen. There's a God that is here that loves you and cares for you, and there's nothing that is hid from them. Amen. So we all are in this together, all right? There's nobody going to be left out of this. Amen. So we're looking at some words here that we find there in verse 7 of something that's very positive and something that we all should embrace and look at, where he tells us here that he has done something three times. If we realize what life is all about, dear people, life is not fair and life is not always good. We're not going to have a smile on our face. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be times and circumstances and situations that want to try our faith, and we want to give up, and we want to get away from God, and we want to maybe even blame God, and blame the ministry, and blame the pastor. But dear people, I come to you tonight from the Word of God, from a man who was imprisoned, a man who knows what being down in life was all, what it's all about, A man who was doing a work and laboring for God. A man who knows what being beaten is like. An individual who has been imprisoned. An individual who has been shipwrecked. An individual where he was warming his hands in a fire and a viper comes out and hangs on to his hands. An individual who was talked about. An individual who was despised. I'm here to let you know what Paul went through. Amen. And you may have your little pity parties. And you may have your little toenail whatever. But I'm here to tell you, Paul tells us emphatically that he has done something, that I have kept it, I have gone through it. And the same thing can happen with you here tonight, that if you make up your mind, no matter what you go through and no matter where you at, that you will make it. Amen. That God is on your side. He has equipped us and he has given us everything that we need. Amen. We have his name. We have the word of God. We have his spirit. Amen. There are people, we are in this for the fight, and we're going to win. So he tells us here that he has fought a good fight. So without going into a fight, we have to realize that God will equip us whatever we need to deal with this battle that we're in against the enemy. And may I say this, my battle is not against you. My battle is not against my ministering brethren. Amen. My battle, actually, is not against my neighbor. I was out in the yard the other day doing some yard work, and a neighbor across the street, for some reason, had just a tantrum where she just flew off the you-know-what and just used all type of profanity. I didn't appreciate that. And I wanted to go in and say, hey, listen, drama queen. Stop spewing your whatever. Take it in the house. I don't want to hear it. But that's the world that we live in and how people deal with circumstances and situations. But see, that's why God gives us the comforter, the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you that the Holy Ghost is given not just to get me to heaven, not just to make me sit on a church pew, amen, but the Holy Ghost is given for me to give unto us that we may live for God and that we can take a stand for God and that we can what? And that we can live for God and that we can be a light for God. Amen. And that's what this is all about, dear people. Paul is telling us here something that we need to embrace, that is, he was definite about his life, that no matter what came his way, it was not going to stop his walk with God. He did not let anything get in the way for his walk and relationship with God. He didn't get offended. Paul didn't get an attitude and leave God. Amen. No, this world maybe was not on his side, but when Paul was imprisoned, God was with him. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your circumstance, in your situation, if you're bound, and if you feel like you're chained, and you may feel like you are fettered, I'm here to let you know that God is with you. So it doesn't matter what the world puts on us and how heavy the circumstance and the situation may get. I want you to know that when you're in God, that you're in his realm and that you're in his kingdom and that you're in his hand and that you're in his policy, dear people. So he will equip us with whatever we need. So there's something that I want us to look at concerning fighting the good fight. The difference between a boxer and a soldier. When you look at a boxer has pretty much a limited team of a manager who does the business work for him, and then he has a trainer who helps him to keep in shape, come up with the game plan for that next boxing match. He fights using his own skill, his own strength, and his own authority. He decides how he's going to fight. But a soldier, on the other hand, fights together with an army. So I want us to take us to a scripture in 2 Timothy 1:8. So go over to a few verses, and I want us to show you something here of how we are in this together. 2 Timothy 1:8 tells us, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as what his prisoner. But notice, but be thou partaker of the afflictions according to the gospel according to the power of who? Of God." But it says here that be not ashamed of the testimony, notice, of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners. So that people, we are in this battle together. Amen. CIP, you cannot do this on your own. Amen. You've been out there in a world that maybe you was the man, or maybe you had, maybe you ran the show or whatever, but in the kingdom of God, you're not boxing. You're not a boxer. In the kingdom of God, you are a soldier. You're at his command. You use his authority. We use his weapons. He's given us his spirit to help us in this battle and in this fight. See, boxing is just a game. It comes to an end. But as a soldier of God, it is a life and death situation of your soul, and which is a fight unto the end, where the enemy wants to trip you up. Amen. So a soldier also, he fights together with an army. He fights wherever the commander sends him. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to tell us to go with Brother Claude. We're going to go to the African nation. But if you're in prayer, and if you are sensitive to God, he will speak to you and what you need to do with your family, with your neighbor, and maybe even on the job. But this is all being part of the army of God. So our commander tells us where he wants us to fight. We are under his authority. A soldier does a fight using his own strength, but he uses the tools and the weapons that he is given and what he is trained by. Hey there, people, I'm here to tell you that you cannot fight the enemy on your own. Matter of fact, some of you can't even handle your own self. Matter of fact, the person whom you looked at in the mirror this morning can be your worst enemy. Amen. Don't even think about blaming the devil until you need to get your own act together and submit yourself to God. God has given us authority. He said he will give us power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And that's why I'm saying to people, we have his name. We have the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. We have Bible studies. We get together and come to church. We have freedom and liberty in this great nation to serve God. Hey, honey, we have no excuses. We can win this battle. You can win this battle. You are something in Christ Jesus. He depends on you. He loves you. He cares for you. Amen. Also, he gets support from the other parts of the army and military. See, the reason I'm here tonight is not to impress you with preaching or teaching. I'm here to support a ministry. I'm here to let this church know, and Brother Noah know, and Brother Hawk know, that this impressive ministry, that I'm with you, brethren, on this. Amen. This is what it's all about in working with people like this. Amen. In getting your hands dirty for God. Amen. Dealing with people who are hurting. Dealing with people who are in pain. Dealing with people who are crying. Amen. Dealing with people who need to know the power of God. Amen. And the greater the sin, the greater of the grace of God. Hey, some of these people here are going to become great preachers and teachers and evangelists. I'm here to tell you, these young people here are going to be soldiers for God, and God's going to use them mightily. While some of you just sit and complain and think we got it all together. People, we are soldiers for him. And God has equipped us and given us everything that we need to get the victory. Check this out. When the victory is won, it is not about the soldier. Again, dear people, I am not in this of what accolades that I can get. and what pat on the backs that I can get, and oh, Brother Cox, and oh, this and oh, that. It's not about me. It's not about you. Yes, we are the body of Christ. Yes, we are to come together. Yes, we are a peculiar people, especially in our looks. Some of us, no, just. But dear people, it's all about him. And because of what he did for us, he went to the cross. He shed his blood. He laid his life down. Amen. He put this smile on my face. Amen. The world didn't give it to me. He gave it to me. He gave me the peace. He gave me the joy. Amen. That's all part of having a baptism. Amen. Of the Holy Ghost. Boxing is only a game, dear people. But for the soldier, you and I, it is a game. It is not a game, but it is a life and death war that we're dealing with the enemy. Amen. Now, I want us to go to 2 Peter 1:3, the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 3. Notice what God has called us to. According as, notice, his divine power. Where do we derive our power from? We get our power from whom? From him. Now notice it says this, and hath given unto us all things that, notice, that pertain unto what? Life. Don't tell me that God told you to kill somebody. Okay? He gave us all things that pertain unto life, and notice the virtues here. And what? And godliness. So what the good Lord is going to do for us and young and our CI people, because the enemy is going to want to trip you up and wants to confuse you, is that when you know you're doing something for God, you know that it's going to bring life, and also there is a virtue to it. God's going to get glorified out of it. He's going to be exalted. Notice, through the knowledge of him that had called who? Us. To what? To glory and to virtue. This is the calling that the good Lord has on us. So the power of the Holy Ghost is what we need for any and everything we go through, including suffering. God will give you what you need for every circumstance, situation that you are in, and that you are going through. This is what I'm going to tell the church Wednesday night that I'm going to be speaking on. What is life? Life is something that is very simple. Either you're going through something, you're coming out of something, or you're about to go into something. So being that Dr. Cox now has given you your... now that you know what's going on, I've given you the heads up of how to deal with life. Amen. See, there are people, all the rewards are not going to be given here in this life. That's why Paul tells us in verse 8 that we read earlier, there in 2 Timothy, that henceforth for me is laid up a what? A crown of righteousness. There's something more, dear people, that awaits us. There's something more that gives us hope. Hey, why do we give a tithe? Why do we give an offering? Why do we come to church, amen, and we clap our hands? Why do we get excited about God? Hey, ladies, why do you wear your hair a certain way? Honey, why do you dress a certain way? Come on, brethren, why do we act a certain way? Why do we love our wives? Why do we love our families? Because we are what? The people of God. And we know that there's more than us but living here in this world, and there is a life for us to come, and that there is more stored and waiting for us in heaven. But you got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. All right. Brother Noah, I think I've been about, what, 15 minutes? Oh, I've been speaking for only 2 minutes? He said two. All right. I know there's cookies and cakes and coffee waiting. So I had this happen to me a month ago in Beloit, where we celebrated somebody's birthday. And guess who spoke that night? I spoke one time, and we had food, and they purposely opened up the back door in the sanctuary so the aroma can come in, and that was like the buzzer going off. All right, Brother Cox, finish. take it out on you all here tonight. No, I'm not going to do that. Brother Noah, you mentioned a word, decisions, and I want to kind of wrap things up and share this with our group here tonight and for everybody. Decisions, dear people, is something that we all have to make. And, you know, I look at this group over here, the CIP group, and, you know, some of you are probably much more talented than me. You're probably stronger than me. Some of you probably more talented musician-wise. And some of you a little better looking. No, you're not that. I'm not going to say that. I'll keep that one. I'm just playing. We all make decisions. And even though we all are talented in certain ways, but one commonality in life is we all have to make decisions, whether they are good and whether they are bad. And maybe some decision that we make, we got caught and we got in trouble. But see, the scripture tells us that all have sinned. See, that's the equalizer. That all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. There's none that's righteous. No, not one. I say that, dear people, because that humbles me. I don't have maybe a rap. Maybe I've not been in trouble with the police. But I'm a sinner and need God. So I look at these precious people here to let them know that really you're no different than us. Maybe you got caught, but you're getting it right with God the same way I had to get it right with God. He loves each and every one of us, and he cares for each and every one of us, no matter what we went through and what we've done. Decision. So in life, we have decisions to make. So Paul's decision here was very decisive and very interesting. That he chose, that he says three times, I have. That no matter what comes my way, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live for God. When you look at the book of Daniel, the first chapter, and I share this with young people about my age. Now remember, people, compared to eternity, we're just numbers, all right? All right. Now I'm getting you on my side. All right, Daniel says before he went to the king's palace that, you know what, I've made up my mind. I made a decision that I am not going to defile myself with the portion of the king's meat and drink. This was a 17-year-old, 16, maybe even younger. Okay, and I know you're saying, well, come on, Brother Cox, now you're not that young. But believe me, I was that age not that long ago. But what I like about Daniel is that he made the decision before the circumstance happened. He had already made up his mind that I'm going to live for my Savior, for my Jehovah God, and that no matter what comes at me in the king's palace, I made up my mind that I'm going to live for God. Daniel is saying, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Daniel's saying, I'm going to live this thing out. Daniel's saying that at this early age, as you read to the book of Daniel, when he gets into the 80s, and I'm talking about 1980s, I'm talking about his age, that Daniel made a stand to live for God. But it came before the actual circumstance and situation came upon him. He had already made up his mind that I don't care what temptation come my way. Now, I'm not talking about the singing group temptations. You're sitting over there. You know what I'm talking about. He had already made up his mind. The man had victory. And see, and that's what we need to do. Is that there could be a cloud or something troubling coming your way. And I'm not calling for that. But what I am saying is you better make up your mind that I am going to stay this course in God. And that, dear people, is what's going to really bring you the true joy and the true peace and the true happiness. See, one thing, despite of what I went through and my daughter and my family the past 4 or 5 years, is I'm going to keep a smile on my face. Amen. I'm going to keep the joy and the peace that only God can give. Because that's the only way I can make it. Amen. That I know that this is real. I know that the Holy Ghost, according to John 14, chapter verse 26, is the comforter. And I know that it's going to lead and guide me. Amen. In all truth. Amen. I know that I'm an individual that has the answers. Amen. I know that I'm an individual that when I come on the scene somewhere, that I'm an individual that make things happen for God. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I have his spirit. I have his name. I have something there, people, that they're looking and longing for. So, as we come to about the 25th minute, I'm done. There comes a time that people with the Holy Ghost say, kid. And believe me, he's done a lot of that to me. The little boy was in service, and he was getting edgy. And you're laughing already. Let me finish it. Let me finish the joke here. You may not like it. You may not have thrown your shoe at me or something. The little boy was in church. He's getting edgy. And his dad looked down and said, you know, what's wrong, son? And the preacher was just going on. He said, isn't he finished? And the dad says to the son, he's been done a long time ago. So as we come to a close, people, we want to be sure that we finish the course. God has something in store for each and every one of us. Paul tells us what? That he have what? He's kept the faith. So let me give us a few more verses of scripture here as we come to a close. Let's go to 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And I will come to a close. And I hope you all don't mind that I know there's cookies and cakes and whatever awaits us, but I want us to be sure that we do have an altar call. Let's be sure that we come. And when we come and we just pray, I come to a close here so we can have the fellowship. There's some of y'all want to be sure to get with and talk to. It says this, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I don't know if I gave it to the sign, people, the people who put the thing up. But it says this, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 12. Look at this. Fight the good fight of faith. Remember, you're not a boxer. You're a soldier. You're using what God has given you. You're under his command. You're under his authority. Okay, notice, lay hold onto what?
Eternal life. So here it is. Here's eternal life, and guess what? Lay hold on it. But it doesn't say to get rid of it. Lay hold on it. That's what it's all about, eternal life.
Unto which, notice, thou art also called. So your calling may not be behind this platform or this pulpit or as a musician. But your calling is to fight the good fight of faith. To lay hold on eternal life. I know we got needs and we got desires and we got plans. I don't know how things are going to work out. And I don't know when the timing of everything is going to come together for you. But I do know this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed, notice, a good profession. So you want a profession? I'll give you a job. Live for God before many witnesses. Go over to verse 19. Verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves what? A good foundation. You got to be rooted on something. Because against the time to come, that notice that they may lay hold on what? Eternal life. Heaven for me. Heaven for me. All its beauties. All its riches. All its glories. But Jesus, there are people, that's what it's all about. It's about him. I just want to serve him. I just want to love him. I just want to be like him. I want to be an example for him. I want people to see him in me. I want people to smell him in me. If you cut me open, it won't be cut blue that come out of me. I want Jesus to come out of me. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want his name to be exalted in me, in my life. And that no matter where I'm at and what I'm going through, there are people I have laid on to eternal life. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's about him. It's not only about you. But as we stand, we come to a close. I got to be careful what water bottle I'm drinking out of here. One time I got so excited, the bottle of anointing oil was up on the platform. And I almost drunk the anointing oil. But we believe in the anointing, don't we? We believe in anointing oil, so I almost drunk it. Amen. I'll drink to that. Isn't God good? This is what it's all about, dear people. There ain't nothing like the blood-washed church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like a Holy Ghost-filled person. There ain't nothing that can come against the name of the Lord, dear people. Amen. That is what we have. That is what we possess. That is what we're to live. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you feel that it's slipping, if you feel that you need that power, if you feel you need that encouragement, amen, you need that strength, I'm asking that you will come to this altar tonight. There's a God with a smile on his face, amen. There's a God with his arms stretched out for you. There's a God that's saying, come. There's a God that's saying, yes. There's a God that won't deny you. Amen. It's all about you now and God. So why don't we come?